It's hard to believe that the market in South Africa is up over 15 months, given all that has transpired from the end of March 2020 to today. The JSE has returned 54%, including dividends reinvested. The question is there still value to be found in local equities? I'm joined on the line by Rory Kotitska-Jacobson, Portfolio Manager at Allan Gray. Thank you very much, Rory, for joining us. So it's been just over a year since the COVID-induced market crash, and no one could have predicted where the market would be today. How have investors fared who were brave enough to stay the course versus those who fled?
Hi, good evening, Nambu.
Hi.
I mean, as you mentioned, year on year, from March to March, the market's up almost 54%, which is, it's amazing to think with everything that's happened. And in fact, in dollars, the returns year on year to the end of March have been even more stellar at around 80%, because over that period, the rand has actually strengthened from around 18 to the dollar, or just under, to now, as we speak today, less than 14.50 to the dollar.
Mm-hmm.
So you really have been rewarded for kind of keeping your mettle over the last year.
So what's driving the current returns?
I think firstly, people have a lot more certainty that the end is in sight. So we may not know when we are getting the vaccine or when the world will return to normal, if it will fully return to normal. But I think with vaccines rolling out at various speeds across the world, it seems to most people more a question of when as opposed to if. And so I think really the biggest change is sentiment. So this time last year was kind of the peak of uncertainty and fear and unknown.
Hmm.
And, you know, today, even though it's been a terrible year, markets tend to be forward-looking. And so there's a lot more optimism that the world will overcome this pandemic in the next year or two.
So with overall returns at these levels, is there still value to be found? And if so, where?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's actually still quite a lot of value to be found on the JSE. And I think the first thing to highlight maybe is that South Africa came into 2020 with relatively undemanding and depressed valuations. And then, I mean, so these numbers we're talking to are from March to March, but of course, for the first 3 months of last year, the market fell more than 20%.
Hmm.
So a lot of the returns you've seen over the last year have really been a recovery of the preceding underperformance. And then the second thing is, you know, the aggregate performance of the market masks the disparity of individual share returns. So if you look at, you know, maybe the last 15 months, companies like Naspers, Anglo American, BHP Billiton, they're all up more than 40%. But then you get companies like British American Tobacco that have been flat to marginally down. And, you know, if you look at the domestic banks and insurers, they're actually well below where the share prices were at the start of 2020.
So what about the obvious risks of investing in South Africa?
I don't think you can be blind to the risks of investing in South Africa. I mean, the fiscal situation has certainly deteriorated. It was already poor prior to the pandemic, and it's gotten worse. And so we're not blind to the fact that there could be a long, drawn-out, slow recovery in SA. We could continue to bumble along. But I think it's always a question of price when it comes to investing. And really, that's the most important question is how much am I paying? And another phrase it another way, you know, how large is my margin of safety? And to what degree am I being compensated for the downside risk? So really, when I say price is the most important variable, a great company can actually be a pretty poor investment if you pay too high a price at inception. And conversely, a mediocre company can deliver fantastic returns if you pay a sufficiently low price. And we think that's the case for quite a few domestic SA shares where, you know, the outlook might not be that stellar, but there's a lot of negative sentiment priced into the shares today.
Yeah, but of course, then if you're going to take a view, it needs to be a long-term view because, you know, our economic fundamentals are still not that great. People are talking about us getting to pre-COVID growth levels in the next couple of years, maybe even 3 years. So you'd need to invest for the longer haul.
That's 100% correct. I mean, so if we look at the kind of the forecasts we're making, and these are very much guesstimates, you know, we're trying to be forward-looking and we're trying to be conservative on our estimates. But if I take a company like Old Mutual, even if you assume it takes, you know, 2 to 3 years to get back to earning where they were at the end of 2019, so around 2 rand a share today, you're paying just over 13 rand a share. If you think a normal PE is 11 or 12 times for a business like Old Mutual, then you can easily see a share price of 22 to 24 rand, you know, in 2 to 3 years' time, which is a pretty healthy return over the next 2 to 3 years.
Yeah, just break down the PE ratio for us. That clearly is an important factor that one needs to consider. I was chatting to Chantel Marks of FNB Wealth and Investments yesterday, and I was saying to her that it's very difficult for layman investors, you know, who look at a Naspers share, for example, or look at a Capitec share, and they think, oh my God, this is going to cost me 1,000 Rand to buy one share. So why is it important to look at the PE factor?
Sure. So the PE multiple, it's the price to earnings multiple for a company. And really what it is it's dividing the share price by the earnings per share for that company. So all else equal, the higher the PE or price earnings multiple, the higher the valuation for that company. Now, you know, you can't look at the PE multiple in isolation. You have to take into consideration a number of other factors in terms of what is the runway for growth for this business, what is their return on capital? Are the returns on capital sustainable? You know, how large are their competitive advantages? Are they at risk of being disintermediated, or do they actually have some really strong moats around their business?
Yes.
And so, you know, Naspers indirectly invests in Tencent, which has been one of is a really high quality company, very high ROEs, very strong returns on capital. ROE is return on equity.
Yes, indeed.
And so you'd be happy to pay a higher multiple for a business like Naspers or Tencent. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, there's a price for everything. So the disparity is quite large between what would be traditionally classified as a value or lower quality stock versus what is now considered to be the most popular stocks on the market.
Rory, we're going to leave it there. Thank you very much for your time, sir, and those insights. Rory Kotitska-Jacobson, he's a portfolio manager at Allen Gray.